Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 to 42, gives to us the profile of a true ambassador for Christ. It is a reality check. It gives to us a picture of total dedication, commitment, and consecration to the cause of Christ. And it would teach us how that those who are not willing to make a commitment, those who are half-hearted and will not pay the price, that they may not successfully walk this Christian journey. I want to have the world, and I want to have Jesus. Mathematically speaking, these are mutually exclusive sets. They have no relation one to another. And so, if we want to follow Christ, then He must not only be our Savior, but He must also be our Lord. And that is a message that the Lord wants to bring to us today. The Lord is training a team of willing-hearted ambassadors that will change the world. And for them to fulfill this high calling, this mission that God has given to them, they need nothing short of a total commitment. And our Lord is truthfully giving to His disciples the cost of commitment, the cost of discipleship. He wants to be honest with us up front. If you want to be a Christian, then this is the life of a Christian. No hidden agenda. This is what you will face. No hidden costs. This will be the life of a true Christian. This is a high calling. A high calling to be sent out by God to a hostile world, to be salt and light. And we want us to understand a little bit of this dedication. Just this last Wednesday, we were having Bible study, and we were studying the life of men of faith. Hudson Taylor. He was a man sent by God to China. He brought the gospel to China, and he began the China Inland Mission. And he poured his life out. He died in China in 1905, in the capital of the last province that was open to the gospel. And at the time of his death, there were 205 mission stations throughout China. Even to the inner parts of China, there were 849 missionaries that were serving. When they saw his example, they all stood up. From North America, when he went, he visited the churches. When he was invited by Moody, D.L. Moody of Chicago. And they heard the gospel. And many of them, as many as 16, followed him after that first trip to North America. And the China Inland Mission of North America was set up. And as we study, it was also recorded that there were 125,000 Chinese Christians in mainland China that were fully involved with the work of the China Inland Mission. And as we make our Bible study last Wednesday, there were a few of our brethren who could trace their spiritual route to the revival or the conversions that took place during those times in Shanghai, in Suatau, in Ningpo, they were second and third generation Christians, and they could trace their spiritual heritage to this man. And as we think about it, he is long gone, 1905, more than 100 years ago. And yet, the fruit of his labor lives on. The gospel light that was shown during his life was not lit, hidden in any way, but shining brightly in the lives of so many Christians that have been impacted and affected by what he has done. And what was the secret of his spiritual strength? May I say he understood Matthew chapter 10. He understood the cost of discipleship. And he is assured in his heart that doing the will of God amidst many difficulties, troubles, dangers, is the best. And he was able to tread safely through his life mission as Christ's ambassador. And he wants us, the Lord wants us, when he gave these verses to us, to be ambassadors for him also. This is the life calling that he has given to us. Whatever profession that you may be in, you are first a Christian. And therefore, he wants us to be prepared so that we know what this Christian life is all about. And then we would have the strength to be able to go through and live a triumphant life, just like this man Hudson Taylor did. You know, the lowest point of his life was when he had a spinal injury and that he was bedridden for a number of years. He was an active missioner. He was always out there serving, giving the gospel. He even put on a pigtail in order to identify with the local people. But during those times when he was bedridden, he faced the greatest challenge in his life. He was very sad that he could not move on, that he was physically incapacitated. And not only that, but he faced many challenges and trials. People who would not believe his calling and mission, and how he had to overcome and continue to endure. Lord Jesus Christ tells us, warns us, that this life of a Christian would be a life of persecution. Remember in our last sermon we mentioned this, and in the Beatitudes, it ends with this. Special blessings for those who want to live a Christian life truthfully. You would face such tribulation and trouble. But the Lord says to you that you are blessed, and that's in the plural. Multiples of blessing will come upon you. And so the first thought that we want to think about is a warning from the Lord that persecution will be fierce, that it will strike you to the core of your being, and your persecutors will be the people in your own home, your closest relation. Your persecutors will be the people whom you know matters most to you. And that's the severest test. You remember the last message that we had from verse 16 to 23? The Lord gave to us the various areas whereby persecution would come. Through the government, through the authorities, and we spoke of how John the Baptizer had to endure imprisonment from Herod, right, when he rebuked Herod for being an adulterer. And then the persecution will also come from people of other faiths. And then he mentioned that persecution will come from the people in your own household. And so he tells us about the danger, and he also gave to us, remember, the responses that we ought to take. He told us we are to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. What do you understand by that? Well, the Lord wants us to know His Word and to apply the wisdom of His Word in our lives, that we may be able to tread through the pitfalls safely. That's in verse 16b. Then He told us also to trust in the Lord to take care, verse 19 and 20. Well, this is what we were discussing in our last sermon. And then He tells us to press on in faith despite all setback. Problems will come, but don't give up. 22 to 23. And so He gives us that first thought in our text that we want to bring before you, that persecution will be fierce. And secondly, the assurance is that God will take care of you. God will make a way for you. That's the second thought that we would like us to remember. Troubles will come, and discouragements will come, and you would feel like throwing in the towel. You feel like giving up. But the Lord says, fear not. Fear not. And we want to recall the beginning of the chapter when Jesus sent out the disciples, how He said to them that the work that He has entrusted them to do is a divine mission with a divine purpose. They are on a divine commission. There is a sacred mandate that God has placed upon them, and they have to realize the gravity of this responsibility that God has entrusted to them. And how we also saw that God will also endow them with divine capability, with a divine message and His divine power to authenticate His message. Then He told us how that He would also endow them with divine capability or divine commissariat, divine means and divine provision. And that's something that we want to think about. It is a sacred commission. And then you would also receive divine help. Do not forget this. Right? So then He told us that God will also want us to do so with a divine method, His divine method, a divine pattern, verse 12 to 15. And so, God has given to us that important mandate to be co-laborers with Him, and that He has the power to see us through. So, will you fail? You will not fail. That is the assurance that God wants to bring to us. So these are the two thoughts that runs parallel throughout this text, from verse 24 to 42. And as you think about it, then you measure it with your own life, the real life challenges that confronts you. Then you think that, is this true still applicable for me? Can I still hold on to God's promises that He will see me through? That's when He tells us that surely He will. There will be times of apparent trouble, discouragements, when you think that you cannot stand firm for the faith. Because when you stand firm, it will be a loss to you. I'll give you an example. If for our younger men and women who are looking for a life partner. Well, if an unbeliever comes along, would you say yes? It is a test of faith. And God wants you to stand firm. He that, verse 38 and 39, he tells us, he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. So there is an apparent paradox here as we think about the Christian life, the fierce persecution that will come and that will surely come. And he wants us to know, he means no words. He wants us to be acquainted with the truth of the reality of the Christian life. And then he also tells us to fear not. And this word there, fear not, is in what we call a form of grammar that tells us that, you know, the situation has not arisen yet. Right? You have not denied the law. Right? But the time will come when you will be tested. Remember, the disciples has not been tested. It was the first time that the Lord would send them out. All up to now, our Lord has been the only person evangelizing. He was the only person going out there to seek the lost. And now he has commissioned 12 who has been following him for a short period of time. And now he's bringing them, sending them out. And then he's teaching them and showing them what the real work is. And he wants them to be able to do well. He wants them to be able to thrive in this work. And so as you think about it, there is this apparent paradox, right? That you follow Jesus Christ, it seems to be losses and losses all the time. And how can it there be gain out of it? Well, this apparent paradox can only be answered when we take hold of God's promises by faith and be willing to obey Him and do His will. Then you would experience His abiding presence, His help with you. And so there was this pastor. He wrote a book, The Age of Despair. And he was confronted as he surveyed life of the challenges of faith that Christians face throughout the ages. And when we face challenges, what do we do? So he began his book by telling us that he was standing in a grave site in Romania. And that grave site was the place where many who were persecuted died. How they were tortured, chained, wounded, and how acid was poured out upon the wounds to inflict them. And so they were screaming and they were crying and they all died. And so as he stood there, and he think about life, and he says, as he reflect upon Matthew chapter 10, then he asks himself, really? Is that a way out? Are there assurances that I can receive from God? Look at this man. They stood for the faith, but look at how terribly they died. And as he reflect upon these men and women who were persecuted for their faith, and these are not people who have died long time ago, this century, maybe 20, 30 years ago. And it led him to study 12 Psalms. And when he studied the Psalms, it gave to him assurances and answers of God's care to put away these apparent paradoxes that it's not worth the journey. You remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said that right at the gate of heaven, there are people who would arrive there at the gate of heaven, but the Lord said, I never knew you. They could not enter. And so the Lord is saying to us that the true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ pours out their life, and the Lord recognizes them. And although in this world, when they serve Him, when they walk with Him, they are going to face so much trouble, He's telling them, be assured, I will see you through. And so He wrote, or He read from Psalm 73. And the thought that is before Him was, has God forgotten Him? Or has God forgotten you? You feel that, you know, in a time of difficulty and affliction for the faith, you have been forgotten by God? Well, Psalm 73. Are you depressed? Psalm 42 to 43. Are you looking for answers? Psalm 19. When you cannot find happiness? Psalm 1. When you are afraid? Psalm 27. When you need forgiveness, Psalm 32. When you are in trouble, Psalm 46. When you are in the age of despair, Psalm 88. When tongues hurt you, Psalm 64. When you are building, Psalm 127. When you can't sleep, Psalm 4. And so, here, he said that no, there are these assurances that you can receive to endure the troubles of the fierceness of the persecution that you will face. And so, the first thought, persecution will be fierce. Verse 24 to 25 and verse 34 to 39. What does it say here in verse 24? The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he will be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. The Lord is saying to us that if I have gone through, I have to go through such difficulties, you will also be going through. It is enough for the disciple to be as his master, verse 25, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, what is Beelzebub? This is the Philistine god, the god whom Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, the northern king, sought when he had a fall. Instead of speaking to the God of Israel, seeking for his help, he went to this god, Beelzebub, or the other name is Baal. And, you know, 2 Kings 1 tells us, verse 4, God sent Elijah the prophet to say to this man that you shall not come down from your bed, but he shall surely die there. And indeed, that prophecy came true. He sought not God. The persecution was fierce. The battle is for the souls of men and women. It's heaven and hell that we are speaking about. This is the battle that is before us. And God wants us to know the seriousness of the battle. That's why, you know, verse 24 and 25 tells us this fierce persecution comes in the form of false accusations. You will be called all sorts of names, and it will be so unbearable. But you will have to endure them. You recall we were studying on our prayer meeting on Wednesday night, the situation when the people up north in Samaria wanted to come and be involved in the building of God's temple. And the Lord and the people said, no, we will not build together with you. Because the people, on the one hand, said they worship the Jehovah God, but on the other hand, they are worshipping their Babylonian idols, which they have brought years ago from Babylon. See, these are people who have been placed there in order to intermarriage with the Jews and then to dilute their faith. And so when these people came and wanted to build with the people of God, they said, no, we will not allow you. What light has to do with darkness? And so because of that, trouble came. They began to accuse them that they were subverting the Persian king. And he tells them that, you know, this group of Jews, they are up to no good. You let them build the temple. You let them be strong. They will come and they will overturn your rule. And that's the accusation that came upon the Jews. And what happened? They were so discouraged by what happened that the people gave up building. For 16 years, they stopped the work of the building of the temple. And so the Lord wants us to know that as you embark on, in your Christian life, to count the costs, to know the kind of adversity, the kind of adversaries that is confronting you. And He wants us to realize the kind of warfare that we are in. And that is the first thought that we want to think about. The fierceness of the persecution. Then in verses 26 to 33, you see the assurances. Right? In verse 26 it says, "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be hid, shall not be revealed and hid, that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that ye speak in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that ye preach in the housetops." So the Lord says that you are given this gospel, and it has changed your life. You know its power. You have experienced its strength. How now you are able to overcome the sin in your life. And so He says that this light of the gospel that you have learned from me, right? Jesus taught them all privately. In that sense, He evangelized to them one to one. And they believed. Right? Now He wants them to go to the housetop. What is the housetop? The housetop is the most visible place in the house, right? The place where you would be clearly seen, clearly heard. Go there and speak forth the truth and declare it openly. This is light. This is the salvific power of God. So He tells the disciples, fear not. They are going to falsely accuse you, but don't stop declaring the word. So, the first thought that the thought that came to them concerning how they are to face this trouble is to not fear, but put on faith that is needful in the heat of the battle. Right? We all know that fear can be very crippling. Because you are afraid what they will do to you. They may be more powerful, they have more resources, more wealth, more whatever power that you can imagine in your mind, or that you can see with your eyes, that you are no match for them. But the Lord says to the disciples, fear not. Be bold enough. Jesus said to the church in Smyrna, be faithful unto death. Thou shalt suffer. The devil shall come and cast some of you to prison. And ye shall be tried. But the Lord says, he that endure to the end, they shall receive a crown of life. He says, be thou faithful unto death. Your testing will be temporary. You face trials. The Lord will not give you a trial that you cannot take. And so, the proverb says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So the Lord wants us to be assured that you will face troubles and persecutions, and they will be fierce, but I will be with you. Verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Again he repeats, fear ye not, therefore ye are of many sparrows. God's care to his servants is to the smallest detail. The very hair of on your head, he will take care. And he compares us with sparrows. So sparrows are the most insignificant of birds. And the Lord says, I take care of the sparrow. You are more, surely, more valuable than the sparrow. You are made in my image. Will I not take care of you? He wants them to be assured in their hearts, that when you go about your Christian life, you want to mean business for Christ, you want to stand up for the Lord, you want to live the life of faith, then trouble will come. But when this trouble comes, be assured that he will see you through. And that is the thought that he wants to bring to us. And then from verse 34 to 39, he gives us the second admonition or second warning, right? How the persecutions will be fierce. And he tells us that the persecution will come from the people of your own household. He says that the closest relations to you will be your adversary. And so he tells us that he will set a man at variance, verse 35, against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Jesus says, think not that I come to send peace on earth, but I come to send a sword. And a man's foes shall be those of his own household. Very tough. For those of us who have come to believe from a pagan family, we have some inkling of an idea what it means to live the Christian life. The kind of tension that goes on in a family, sometimes quite unbearable. But the Lord tells us that this will be the situation when you walk with me. The testimony of the Indian disciple of Jesus Christ, Satu Sundar Singh, if you have heard of him, he was a Sikh. The Sikh religion is totally against Christianity. And when he became a Christian, when the Lord converted him, when he received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he was cast out of his home. He could not have meal together with his family anymore. Life was so difficult. He became, as it were, someone, a wanderer. He had to fend for himself. Very tough. But you see how God would use him to ignite the flame of the gospel throughout the land of India. And how later on, the members of his family who persecuted him and who saw the power of God in his life, how God blessed him, strengthened him, and used him. They saw the power of the gospel, the light of the truth, of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And how later on, some of the family members believed. And so as you think about our Christian life, you want to be an ambassador for the Lord, then the Lord gives to us these warnings. At the same time, he gives to us this assurance. The persecution will be fierce, but God will take care of you. The last thought from 40 to 42 is the second point, right, that we want to think about in response to the trouble that we have just described concerning living out the Christian life. He says that you will receive the reward of service from God Himself for the least work that you have done in faith. Right? Verse 40 says, "He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." So the Lord now tells us that you are asked to go out there and do good. Give the gospel. Help the poor. Do that which our Lord Himself has done. And this work that you do will not go unrewarded. He says that even a glass of cold water that you would give to someone in the name of a disciple, in the name of Jesus Christ, there will be reward for you in heaven. He shall in no wise lose his reward. And so as we think about this Christian life that God has given us to live, we want to understand and have no illusion concerning the challenges that is before us. Persecution will be fierce. Verse 24 to 25 and verse 34 to 39. Fear not. God will make a way for you, or God will take care of you. Verse 26 to 33 and 40 to 42. May we indeed be assured in our hearts and be given the spiritual resources to be able to do this sacred and blessed, or live this sacred and blessed life that God has given to you. and that we may live it beautifully, triumphantly, in the power of the resurrection. That many souls would be won to the kingdom of God because we have yielded our life to Him. This is the testimony of saints throughout the ages. And this is the life that He wants you to live for His glory. May the Lord help us to do so. And may He give us the strength to endure to the end. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for giving to us Thy word. Lord, as we think about the first disciples whom Thou hast called and Thou hast sent, and Thou hast also instructed concerning the challenges of life as a disciple, life as a Christian, life as an ambassador. Lord, help us to know truly, fully, really, in reality, the challenges that persecution will be fierce. And yet, Lord, give to us the faith, the strength, the understanding out of Thy word that You will also see us through, that You will also, You will take care of us throughout that journey. Oh God, may Thou help us to reflect upon who Thou art, that indeed we serve the living and true God who possesses all power. Oh Lord, may Thou help us to fulfill Thy will in our lives to Thy glory. This I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.